decision number 20160, Rule 1.
The thing that I wanted to ask you about, first of all, was how you first of all, you worked in the Willington Quay Foundry.
Yes.
Now, when you worked in the Willington Quay Foundry, you were saying that you had to bring, what exactly were you doing? Could you just tell me again what you were doing?
It was really loom, but I used to call it yellow sand.
Yeah.
I had to bring that in by the barrowful, put it by itself. Go out again with the barrow and bring me black sand in.
Yeah.
Put in the corner. Then I had to thoroughly mix them two together.
Mm-hmm.
And put it through a riddle that you set the way, you know.
Yeah.
And the men would keep coming for that boxes, you know, to go back to make their jobs in the ground.
Mm-hmm. What were they doing? They were
making. You know, if the ships come in crippled, mm-hmm. and they wanted little spare parts, you know, perhaps wheels or anything like that, they got that order that had what they had to make, you see.
Uh-huh.
And then at 3 o'clock, the hot metal came along the top, come down, and went in each of their jobs, and that wasn't touched till the next morning. Mm-hmm. They were cold.
So you...
And that was the little things they wanted, you know, for their ships.
So there, you were actually mixing up a kind of base.
Yes.
Go in.
Yes.
The molten metal was set on.
The molten metal had to go in. And then they had women clean hands.
Uh-huh.
They used to clean them, you know, scrape all the... Clean the metal job, the
uh-huh.
job ready for them to... be used by the ships.
And how many women were working in the foundry?
Well, the Willington Quay Foundry wasn't very big.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about 7 labouring women.
Mm-hmm.
And there was 2 cleaners for the metal. And I was on for the facing stand.
Mm-hmm.
And the... I think that was about, yeah. Of course, the men, the moulders used to come from Sheffield and all over.
Mm-hmm.
Because where they were, they were sent to different places.
Right.
Used to get them from all over.
But the women all came from the area?
Oh, yes, the area.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And did you know the other women?
Yes.
Yeah, you knew them all?
A lot of them gone now.
Yeah. Yeah. And where did you see the... You said it was an advertisement. Where did you see the advertisement? For the job in the foundry, where did you?
We went just to the office. The office was near the gate, and we'd heard about these jobs, you know.
All right. Well, how had you heard? That's what I want to know. How had you heard about them?
Just we listened to the women in the shops,
uh-huh.
and they were saying, "Oh, such and such wanted women,"
mm-hmm.
and me went unknown. I went down. And I got to start there, with me neighbour the next war.
Mm, yeah.
And I went down, and I was taken on straight away. I had to start the next morning. And I remember the cashier in the office, and Mr. Terry, they called him. And Gaffer called him, he was called Mr. Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in Byron Avenue. And I was put straight on to them making the facing sand. And it had to be a certain texture, you know. They were very, you
yeah.
know. I used to, after come through the riddle, I used to feel with my hand, you know, and I knew it was all right.
All right. How were you, who trained you to do it?
Just 2 days I was trained.
Who by?
By one of the labourers.
Uh-huh.
But you see, all the young men were getting sent away to the war.
Uh-huh.
They were glad of the women. And then I had been there a long time when this Mr. Fraser from the North Eastern Foundry came and watched me walking, he was watching me all the time. And when I had gotten the heat made, Mr. Ireland shouted to us over, he says, "This is Mr. Fraser from the North Eastern Foundry." So Mr. Prater shook hands and he says, I've come to ask Mr. Ireland if I can have you.
Uh-huh.
I says, oh, well, it was only a penny bus ride from our place to the
uh-huh.
Northeastern. And he says, you'll get twice as much money as you're getting here. I was only getting 16 shilling, mm. and I got 30 shilling.
Yeah.
And he says, you'll get overalls and your little round hat to go with it. And he says, you won't have to seek your own sand. The crane will break it, bring it over. And when I got there and started, it was a great big foundry.
Uh-huh.
I had to walk harder,
uh-huh.
but there was moment, but never mind, I liked it.
What about, you said you knew. How did you know when it was right, the sand?
Well, the first time a man came with a box and he felt it, he says, just the right moisture. It hadn't to be too dry and it hadn't to be too wet. And all the praises they said, I mean, I was a good, you know, the
sand. So you didn't make any mistakes?
I never made any mistakes.
Uh-huh.
And when the hot metal come at 3 o'clock, I was practically finished.
Uh-huh.
Just had them to make a heap up for the next morning before it went through the riddle.
Uh-huh.
Just to put through the hour. I used to straighten nails, you know, to put the time until I finished 5 o'clock.
What time did you start?
7:30 in the morning until 5 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. And did you have a dinner hour?
Oh yes, we had from 12 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
We had a dinner, I could. I used to just take sandwiches because
mm-hmm.
it was a penny bus ride, you know, and I wouldn't have had time.
Mm-hmm.
And me mother used to have a nice dinner for us when I was finished, you know, at 5:30 when I got home. But I enjoyed every minute of it.
Right. So what did you feel? I mean, well, you were 16 when you went into the foundry, and I mean, there were, before you went in, there must have been no women working there at all.
Yes.
And what do you feel like? You know, you're going into what's basically a man's world, and how did you feel about that?
Well, I don't know. You know, I used to think when I went into, before I started work in any of the places, I used to think, men worked hard and they were tired when they come home, my father, you know. Now. And when I started, the men used to be running at 9 o'clock when I come to the cafe to get cans of tea and sit down. And I used to say, well, you think?
So you think you found out that it was all a bit of a con?
It was, yeah.
Does that mean you didn't think the work? Well, I mean, when you say men used to come home and they were tired and all that, I mean, does that mean you didn't? They had a hard day. They were having you on, do you reckon? Because you knew what it was like. Do you think that's? I mean, how did the men in the foundry react to you? I mean, to you, a woman coming in, what did they think?
It was a funny experience, you know, wasn't it? I mean, for me to go into a shipyard. In for family, but I don't know. I just seem to take it me straight.
But how did the men feel about it? What were their reactions to you?
They had no other option. They were very nice minded.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't say anything else. And if they used to, if one of them used to swear that that one used to say, there's a woman there.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say, hey, I forgot. But they got used to it to finish. And we got used to them. They were very nice. And you know, they would always give you advice if you wanted it.
Yeah.
Very kind they were.
Did this sort of make you, I mean, you worked there, you went to the North Eastern Marine and you worked, and when the war finished,
uh-huh.
you were finished.
Yes, because the lads were coming home, you
did
know,
they
wanted their jobs back.
Did the men who were in the yards, in the foundry in the North Eastern, did they make you aware of the fact that you were only there for the duration?
Oh, when you know, like when the war was over, the lads would come home.
They told you that?
Yes, it was natural. They wanted their jobs back.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So we all felt, well, we're doing our best, we're doing our little bit. And I was always a big, hefty lass, strong lass. I've gone little now, I'm deteriorating. But, you'll be asking us questions on the second war.
Yeah. No, because I mean, you must remember there are not many women who actually
in the world, first world war.
So it's worth talking about. I was still alive, you see. What I want to think... would you have liked to have stayed working in the foundry? I mean...
yes, if the war had gone on longer, I would have done how it went
well,
on.
What about peacetime, though? I mean, if, you know, the war was over, would you have liked to have stayed in?
Yes.
In peacetime and maybe sort of worked there all your life?
Yes, I would.
So
it was very nice. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yes, it's very nice.
And were you working, were the kind of work you were doing, were there any men doing that work as well as you?
No, I was the only one making fish and sand.
Right.
Just myself. But I kept them all going.
Mm-hmm.
But they hadn't the canteen.
Yeah.
Not at the foundry.
No.
The North Eastern had mine, but the Wilton King was just...
But tea breaks were official, were they?
I mean, yes, oh yes,
I mean,
you could go and get a cup of tea for about 10 minutes. You had you know, you hadn't the dawdle over it, you know, you had to get on with it and hurry back to your job.
Were the foreman very strict?
He was a very nice man, Mr. Ireland, very, very nice.
Mm.
Couldn't ask for better.
Mm-hmm.
He appreciated, you know, what we did.
Yeah, yeah.
He was very kind.
Do you think all the men appreciated what
they did? They did. They used to clap me on the back.
What about what in the Second World War? I mean, how did you find out about Clelland? You just...
well, the woman next door, a man walked in Clelland's.
Mm.
And of course our family was getting up a bit. And he had told her that Clemens was wanting women. So she came in to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, what about the two? We're going down and see if we can get a start.
Yeah.
So the two we went and they had all the women in the big ring, you know, that was there looking for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked about 12 labouring women.
Mm-hmm.
Then they picked two for the electrician. We had that one place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they picked two for the fitting shop.
Yeah.
And then he came to me and my mate, and the gaffer was stunned. He says, I'll have them two, the big strong girls. And we were picked for the carpenters.
Right.
And I enjoyed myself there.
Mm-hmm.
We had to put dirty aprons on when the ship was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to go right down to the bottom of the cradle.
Mm-hmm.
She took one the wheels up and I took the other wheels up. You know, it run on wheels. It had the hydraulic machine at the top and that used to pull the ship on.
Right.
And she took one side with a pail and a stick and I took the other.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that man that was in that machine, he said the cradle had never run as smooth as what was when we started.
Yeah.
He says the lads that was on it must have been just having a bit of fun. But he says, it goes with no bother now.
Yeah.
And we used to clean lifeboats out when the ships come in and paint them. And it's funny, but the foreman painter, if he wanted, he only had about 5 men working for him. And if he was short, he always come for us too, for me and my mate. And we used to paint, at one cradle, we used to have build the small steel boats, you know.
Yeah.
And at this big cradle, that was where the big ships come in to be mended, you know, after being shot and everything.
Yeah.
And we used to grease that cradle. And we, in this foreman painter, I used to come forward. Could he have asked our foreman, if we weren't busy, could he have the lend of the tower for the deal? And we used to go around the new tugboats that had been built, and underneath where you lent on, you know, the arm that goes the sides of the ship. Well, underneath there we had all white paint. We went right round the white paint. And me and I used to go walking on and on. and many men using bad language, and we took no notice. It was men's jobs, it was men's life. We had nothing to do with them. If that wanted to swear, we had to shut where he is.
Well, do you think it's... Yeah, I see that. But do you think it should have been men's life, you see? I mean, in a way, from all the women I've talked to, they all enjoyed it. They all had a great time.
Yes.
And I mean, maybe things should have been different. The women should have been still allowed, you know.
Yes, yes.
What do you think about...
Of course, we had a... We had to remember that a lot of lads were short of men, you know.
Yeah.
They were all getting called up. That they had to have women.
You see, one of the things is that women... again, women that I've talked to, one of the things they really liked about it was the money. Bit of independence.
Oh, it was hard up times. They were very glad of the money.
Yeah.
Yes. But on the other hand, I liked it. And I thought we were doing a little bit.
Do you think, though, it gives you... Because you can do a job like that, so you get independence.
Yes.
Did you get that? You got that?
Oh, yes, yes.
But, you see, it's only the war that you got that chance.
We just got that chance in the war.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think you should have had it other times?
Yes. You see, other times when I was finished there, I had to go out, maybe clean a big house out for people better than myself. And they only got a half a crown.
Yeah.
If you went out doing a day's washing, you only got a half a crown.
Yeah, other times you'd do women's work, wouldn't you?
Yes.
You wouldn't do what they call it.
Wouldn't do shipyard work, no. Oh, no.
But, I mean, northeastern women, I mean, it's sort of there's that sort of view that their place is very definitely in the home, you know.
Yes, oh, yes.
And maybe what I'm trying to sort of get at is perhaps you're not...
Well, it wouldn't have been right if you had little bairns, children. I mean, you couldn't go and leave children. I think they weren't practically all that had their families. Mm. You know, between the 30s and the 50s.
Yeah.
That they had their families up a bit. But, I don't know. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, you were saying to me that I'm doing this work on women. Do you think the women who worked in the wars have been neglected? And people haven't taken much notice of what they did?
Well, I think they should have been mentioned, shouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every time you... Oh, the southern people, they were always getting praised. Mm-hmm. And I used to many times say, well, I've never heard a good word about the northeast. And northeast women worked hard. There was a lot of them went out to work, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's even when... They went out of work at other times apart from the war, didn't they? I mean,
yes,
they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, the first one was zeppelins, you know. I seen the one plane. I seen 34 on the side of it.
Yeah. Oh, the zeppelin, yes.
Yes, the zeppelin.
But what do you think about the northeastern compared to the south? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think... The south, they don't work as hard. They're not as hardy as they were the northern women.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not think they are? I think they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we put up with better, bigger winters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, but we work harder. There's more white collar workers down to the south than the women in offices, you know.
Do you think there's something special about the northeast?
I think there is. They're a happier crowd, aren't they? I mean, the whole life's... Doesn't matter where you go, you get a smile.
No.
But if you go down to London now, and I've been down twice to my niece to stop there, and I used to say to her, nobody gives you a smile here. She says, oh, no, Auntie Minnie, this isn't the North.
Yeah, yeah. I see, yes. But going back to Clelland's, you know, Clelland's...
Clelland's Eye was a very busy ship, yeah, that. Very busy.
Was it different in the Second World War from the First World War?
Oh, different. I mean, the First World War, we rationed with everything.
Yeah.
We got very little, you know, we had clothes for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had three in the family, you only got 2 ounces of butter for each one for a week. 2 ounces of sugar for each one, and many of them have stood a half an hour in the queue for a quarter stone of potatoes.
Yeah.
They were very hard times. But the Second World War, there was no rationing. You got your food if you wanted to buy it.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yes. But what about in the yards themselves? Was there a difference in attitude about you coming in or from the men? Or were the conditions different? Were they better?
Oh, the conditions were better, yes. And I think the men understood that somebody had to come in, and if they couldn't get the men well, if they could get women to do it, it was far better.
Yeah.
And the men seemed quite content. Many a time they played tricks on you, and I believe I had the nail, about the rubber nails.
What about, do you think, I mean, you're 88, and you've seen a lot of, you know, you've lived throughout all of this century. Do you think there's been a change for women in this century? And what, their position in?
You're a man, I'm going to say this. Men and women have changed. Women feel as though there is much of us in the home now as the men.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to stick at our posts in the scullery, and they go to their bingos and everything, and just go out and leave the man, and just, and sometimes they're living, in fact around here they're living together on peace. None half of them not married.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different thing altogether, isn't it?
Yeah.
A different world.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the women are better off though?
No, I don't. I don't think they're better off. I think that the idea come well, they'll have it on their conscience, leaving their bairns, and we wouldn't dare lift our bairns. And you know, and they go out there and you see them like a cigarette, but you see them in the street. That's one thing I wouldn't do: smoke in the street. You see them going up and down there with a cigarette in their mouth. Some of the lads with no hair on, and they got a big red feather over the ear. You know, that'll be on their conscience when they get older. It's all right when they're young, but makes you wonder what they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
But
don't you think, because the fact that women can, you going at 16 to work in a foundry was very exceptional for a woman then.
Yes.
A woman working now isn't so exceptional.
No.
I mean, you can have your independence.
They do, yes. But yet, I often think if another war was breaking out and they were asked, I think they would.
Oh, yes.
I think they would rally in.
But I think, yes. I think, but I mean, all I'm saying is that in peacetime, women can go out and work in factories now and have a bit of independence, which you got. I mean, you got a lot of independence by working in both wars.
How many times say they don't know what a scrum brush is now?
Yeah. But
we had all spare boards to scrub, but they've never had the hardships that we've had.
Well, I mean, maybe they have their own hardships, though.
They could have, they could have, yes.
But I was just thinking that. I mean, I think it's better that women can go out to work, because I don't think that women have to be at home all the time. Men can look after children as good as women.
If the man's not working, I think it's right the woman should do her best. If she can get a job, it's helping the home.
Yeah.
Oh, I believe in that, yes.
If she can get, like...
Yes, because it's... terrible just the doing money, it's nothing. I feel sorry for the young ones coming up, I do feel sorry for the young lads and lasses.
How do you think men have changed then? You said that men have changed as well.
Yes, men have changed. You'll see men going up there pushing a pram. We never saw that before. Not in my time.
No.
But they'll go messages now with their bags, the men. Think nothing of it now.
I think that's a good thing, don't you?
It is a good thing, yes.
There must have been a lot of children, like when you were young, and maybe it's true of you as well, who didn't know their father. except as somebody who came in from work.
Yes, yes. Yes, because, I mean, in my time, if nobody had three rooms, there was two rooms, mm-hmm. great big families in them, the washhouse in the backyard, the coal house, you had a pus outside your clothes in the backyard.
Yeah.
It's all different now.
I think the war had a lot to do with that, you see.
Oh, I think the war changed it all. Mm-hmm. And yes.
The war changed it all. How do you think?
Yeah, and I meant to think if we had a better government in, mm-hmm. and you don't know who to vote for. Mm-hmm. Do you?
Not much.
Because not just now, because the way they're going on makes you wonder who you can put in.
There's not much to choose between them.
No.
You see, did your daughters go out to work after they were married?
No, the two of them hadn't. The oldest one, her man, worked. On buildings, but he planned them.
Yeah.
He helped to plan that hospital in Newcastle.
No.
They call it the last one that was put up.
The general?
No, not the general, that's an old one. Not the RDI, that's an old one.
But Freeman's?
Freeman, he helped the plan that.
He's an architect.
But he's had two heart attacks, he's not walking now. Of course, these kids are getting on now, you know. And because he's on they're on the pension now. And the oldest son, the oldest daughter, they're both on the pension. Yeah. That's making me.
Yes. What about your granddaughters? You got any granddaughters?
I've got 14 grandchildren and I've got 15 great grandchildren.
Well, what about your granddaughters and what do they do? Are they all married and just having
practically all married, Of course the my oldest daughter, she's got a daughter married and divorced, and she's married again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's happening all over, isn't it? And my oldest son, he just has one daughter, but she's married, and they are grandfathers and grandmothers now. Mm-hmm. She's got three of a family. Mm-hmm.
Do any of them go out to work then? Do any of the granddaughters work?
The grandsons do.
The grandsons.
My daughter says five sons. They're my grandson, and the Ian, he's not working. Ian McNally, he's an engineer, plumber, and he's off work. Can't get a job. I mean, it's getting serious, isn't it? I feel sorry for the young people.
See, I think I was just trying to see if, like, it could go through from you. Your grandchildren.
The generations,
and see if there's any differences. I mean, there must be. I mean, you say people have changed. How do you see those differences, particularly about your daughters and your granddaughters? I mean, are they different in the way that they are?
Oh, they're different, and I'm glad they're happy. They've got good, nice homes, and as long as they're all right, I'm all right.
Right.
Not often I see the grandchildren, because two of them live at Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a daughter up here, she's been down this morning and cleaned me windows.
Right.
Oh, they're very kind. The youngest lad, mm-hmm. Gordon, he went to, he started to think to be a joiner. That was the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, you know, they had the conscription of lads.
Mm-hmm.
They had to go for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had to go. And he was sent to Germany, and he was on the radar. And when he come home, he went to that college on the Coast Road 4 times a week.